Okay, we'll start in a minute. Gentlemen, good morning. What's left of it? We begin with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is quoted here by the Gemara on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, and it says the following: Hakol Ksherim Likros Es Hamegilah Chutz Micherei Shota V'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir V'Katan. So we're talking about a katan reading the Megillah on behalf of the community, on behalf of Gedolim. He's mechuyav midrabanan, and they're mechuyav midrabanan. Rabbi Yehuda therefore says, to the extent to which they both share the same chiyuv, he the katan can be motzi the gadol. The chachamim on the other hand say not. So Tosis here asks a very basic question. He says, "V'im tomar mimanafshach." I don't understand what's going on. If we're talking about a katan shaloi gil chinuch, then how could Rabbi Yehuda maintain that he would be motzi the tzibur if he's less than a gil? He's very precocious, very advanced, but nevertheless, he is einam achuyu b'davar. And Tosus lays down a principle based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that kol she'ena mechuyu b'davar eni motzi es harabim yedei chovasam. So how could Rabbi Yehuda be justified here that a katan shelo igil lechinuch can read the Megillah on behalf of the rabbim? The ibi igil lechinuch, let's try the other avenue, is my time at the Rabbanan. Why should the Rabbanan block a katan who's igil lechinuch, he's chayv in the midst of chinuch? He has the same chiv to Rabbanan as everyone else does. And therefore, Hare Kriyas HaMegil to Rabbanan, Amrina Katan Shigil HaChinuch Min Rabbanan, Kigadol Upoter Rabbanan. And Tosis has a proof, if you have any doubts about it, that a Katan can be motzi a Gadol in a chiv to Rabbanan. And this is going to be very important for us as we go along. From a Gemara later on, in the next parak, the Gemara says on Daf Chaf Amid Beis that Katan Motzi Es Aviv Shelo Achal Ela Kizayis. A Katan could recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of his father if he didn't eat. His father didn't eat anything more than a Kizayis. Tosfos is assuming that if the father only ate a Kizayis, then his chiyuv birkas hamazon is only derabbanan. Not all the Rishonim agree with that, but that's Shitas Tosfos. Therefore, in this situation, both the katan and his father are chayev in birkas hamazon on the same level. The katan midin chinuch, and the gadol midin achilas kizayis, and therefore the katan could be motzi the gadol. So you see that if a katan has a chiv derabbanan, he can be motzi a gadol from a chiv derabbanan, and the chachamim don't question that halach over there. It seems to be universally accepted. Why then do the chachamim insist that here, in the case of Megillah, a katan, even if he's a higil lechinuch according to that side, cannot be motzi acherim yedei chovas? So the real simple answer, I don't know if it's a simple answer, but it's kind of like the famous answer that we're all familiar with, is the second answer of Tosfos. What we call trei derabbanan, meaning that in the case of Megillah, the katan has a double whammy derabbanan. Number one, it's derabbanan because Megillah is derabbanan. Number two, katan in general is derabbanan. And in that case, we have a situation in which, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, by applying this principle of trei derabbanan, the katan who's got a trei derabbanan cannot be motzi acherim bidei chovas megillah, which is only a chad derabbanan. And then we have to see, according to Tosis, how that's going to square with the case of Birkas HaMazon, because one could argue there too that in the case of Birkas HaMazon it's trei derabbanan. So Tosfos answers, the Kadin ate a shear of Kidei Sviya. And therefore, the only reason it drops down from the Daraisa to the Rabbanan, there's only one reason. In the case of Kadin in Megillah, it drops down to a Darabanan for two reasons. First of all, Megillah is Darabanan, and secondly, Katan Megillah Chinuch is Darabanan. In the case of a Katan who ate Kedei Sviya, there you can only drop it down one Darabanan, there's no two Darabanans, because the Katan ate Kedei Sviya, had he not been Midin Chinuch, he would have been Chayiv Midaraisa. And that's why the Chachamim would agree that if the Katan is Chad Darabanan, and the Gadol is Chad Rabbanon, then the Katan has the same level of Chiyuv as the Gadol, and he can be Motzi the Gadol. That's the case of Birkas HaMazon, where the Katan ate Kedei Sviya, and the Gadol ate only a Kezayis. But here, in the case of Megillah, where the Katan has a trade Rabbanon, he can't be Motzi the Gadol. That's the famous answer to this question. But I'd like to call your attention to the first answer of Tosfos, which I find a little bit odd, to say the least. Tosfos sets up Birkas HaMazon as the exception to the rule, meaning in the second Teretz of Tosfos and the Kasha Tosfos, assuming that all mitzvot d'Rabbanan are equal. You know, there's no reason to classify one mitzvah d'Rabbanan as different than another. And therefore, based on the universal regulations that govern a d'Rabbanan, Tosfos says that there's a difference between Birkas HaMazon and Megillah, but not because of some lack or deficiency in the nature of the Chiyuv d'Rabbanan of Birkas HaMazon. The Chiyuv d'Rabbanan of Birkas HaMazon is equal and not in any way inferior to that of Megillah. The only problem is that in the case of Megillah, he's got Trei d'Rabbanan. In the case of Birkas HaMazon, where he ate Kedei Sviya, he's got Chad d'Rabbanan. But Tosfos is analyzing Birkas HaMazon from the perspective of all mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. But in the first Teretz, he says something totally different. He says, Yesh Lomar, the shiny Birkas HaMazon, what he means is, when the Rabbanan instituted, if you will, a Birkas HaMazon for Kezayis, that's not a classical Durabbanan. That's a unique kind of mitzvah Durabbanan. And Tosfos calls it Hichumri Yisera. Normally when we talk about a Chiv Durabbanan, it's a Chiv Gamur. It's a total Chiv. It's a Chiv Mitzvah Durabbanan, but it's an absolute Chiv. We don't give it any gradations, you know, it's an all or nothing proposition. But here, Birkas HaMazon is different. Really the rule is that a Katan, even though he's Igil L'chinuch, and he's Chayev in the Mitzvah D'Rabbanan, he cannot be Motzi, a Gadol, who's Chayev in the Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. And the proof is, the Shitas Chachamim here, quoted in the Mishnah, in Megillah, that a Katan, even though he's Chayev midrabbanan Megill, cannot be Motzi a Gadol who's also Chayev in Drabbanan. Tosfos doesn't differentiate between one Drabbanan and two Drabbanan, so all Drabbanans can be Motzi each other, but the exception to the rule, the Yotzei Dofen, is Birkas HaMazon. And in the case of Birkas HaMazon, we're going to allow the Katan to be Motzi the Gadol. So as a general rule, even though both the Katan, in the case of Megillah, that's a general rule, that's the paradigm, even though both the Gadol and the Katan have the same identical Chiyuv, but nevertheless, a Katan, for some reason, we don't know why, cannot be Motzi a Gadol, even though they both have the same Chiyuv Drabbanan. Tosfos doesn't know any difference between Chad Drabbanans and Trei Drabbanans. Why then is a Katan able to be Motzi a Gadol in Birkas HaMazon? The answer is because Birkas HaMazon, as far as the Gadol is concerned, again, how much food did the Gadol eat? How much pas? He only ate a Kezayis. So that mitzvah d'Rabbanan of a Kezayis is not really a full-fledged mitzvah d'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan never made it as a full-fledged takana with a chiyuv gomor. Ubekal niftar mimenu. Therefore, it's very easy for the Gadol to be Yotzei his Chiyuv d'Rabbanan of Birkas HaMazon when he ate a Kezayis. Had his Tosfos, where does Tosfos find somewhere in Shas a peg to hang his hat on, that the din of Kizayis in Birkas HaMazon the Rabbanan is only a chumrah. And he says, that's what the Gemara says later on the same daf chof amin beis, the Gemara says, hey mechmiru al atzma. That the Kielu, it was some sort of a spontaneous grassroots movement on the part of Klal Yisrael that they took upon themselves to recite Birkas HaMazon when they really aren't obligated to do so, which means either a Kezayis or a Kebetza, depending upon Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Sugya Daf Chaf Amid Beis. So since the din of Birkas HaMazon Derabbanan in the case of Kezayis is only what? A Chumra V'Alma, we could be Mekil and Bekal Niftarim, they can fulfill their obligation for this Chumra in a very easy way. It's not a long trodden path. And therefore, whereas a Katan, generally speaking, cannot be Motzi or Gadol, even in a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan, that's the case of Megillah. But nevertheless, in the case of Birkas HaMazon, the Gadol could fulfill his Chiyuv of Kezayis, of Birkas HaMazon, through the Katan. Very strange kind of concept that this Din D'Rabbanan is not a chiyuv gomor. I don't know what to make out of it.
Is this specific to Birkas HaMazon, or are we trying to show a distinction between any mitzvah d'oraisa where the chacham added on a gedah chiyuv versus
I don't think you'll find anywhere in Shas, to the best of my knowledge, this language of heimich miru al atzma, with regard to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And what the Tosus understood in Hamech Mir al Atzma was that it's not really a bona fide, full-fledged chiyuv, it's only a chumrah. I would have taken the exact opposite conclusion. I would have said that Hamech Mir al Atzma Birkas HaMazon, Adarabba, that's a full-fledged chiyuv d'Rabbanan. Because if it's not, you have a problem of lotisa shem Hashem lashav, meaning there's no such thing as a voluntary bracha. We don't allow voluntary brachas. Every bracha, in order to allow you to enunciate Shem Hashem, requires a mechayev. But I don't know. Again, what I'm going to say now is like dok v'tishkach. But maybe what Tosus means is that there are two types of mitzvahs d'rabbanan. There are mitzvahs d'rabbanan which are mitzvos, as we classically say, and then there's a new category of a mitzvah d'rabbanan which is not really a mitzvah, it's a gzera. Notice, usually we say a gzera d'rabbanan is an iser d'rabbanan, correct? Like for example, when we talk about, we're learning now in Chulin Machol Sasuris, you talk about basar of b'chalav, if we allow him to eat basar of b'chalav, tomorrow he'll eat basar behema b'chalav. That's a classical gzera, and there are millions of them. But a mitzvah like Hanukkah and Shabbos, Ner Shabbos, or Megillah, that's not a gzera. Is there such a thing as a gzera in mitzvahs?
So I was asking whether or not you can make a distinction between a mitzvah that never began as a d'oraisa, so it's purely the rabbanan, like right. Megillah and Hanukkah, where the chachamim made a certain level of chiyuv different than when they said, okay, here's the d'oraisa, we want to extend it. There's a mitzvah shofar of 9 kolos, I'm going to make 100. So I might say a kata could be motzi gadol on the other, on the rabbanan 91 kolos, different than I would be by Megillah.
Again, Yechiel, as I said to you before, the lashon of Echmir al-Atzma we only find here. So I don't know. It's very scary for me, Allah Rishonim on a Mitztaren to try to expand Tosfos.
Right.
But let me ask you this. If I'm right that there is such a concept called a mitzvah d'rabbanan, which is in essence a gzera, then what were the chachamim worried about? If he didn't bench when he ate a kezayis, what were they afraid of?
He won't bench.
That he might bench when he ate a kebeta, or when he ate kedei svia, whatever it might be. Meaning, within the context of kedei svia, you've got to train a person in the midst of Birkas HaMazon. Again, for us, we're already well trained, the system is well oiled. But we'll see later on from the Gemara Memches that, Birkas HaMazon was a complicated business. So there were apparent reasons why the Chazal were worried that a person is not, unless he's well trained in Birkas HaMazon, he might mess up on a Doraisa. So in a sense, this mitzvah is only to, what shall I say, remind him and train him. Where else do we find a mitzvah d'rabbanan that's training? The essence of the mitzvah is to train a person, to get him into a shvung, you know, getting used to it. But don't all answer once. I mean, chinuch, right. That's what we're talking about. So it makes sense then that Tosis would maintain that a katan, where does this chumrah yisera, where, you know, the light aspect of Birkas HaMazon, where does it come to the fore? I mean, he's going to make Birkas HaMazon exactly as if he had eaten Kedei Sviya. So the answer is that a katan could recite Birkas HaMazon on his behalf. Maybe what Tosis is saying is that although the mitzvah of chinuch, we understand it to be, generally speaking, for a katan, there is a mitzvah of chinuch for a gadol. What's the mitzvah of chinuch for a gadol? When do we train a gadol? In the case of Birkas HaMazon, Birkas HaMazon was so foreign, it was so complicated, that we needed a training period. Okay, fine. Whatever it is, that's what Tosis says. Rabosa, what I want to learn with you now is the following question. Can a person who ate a kezias and is chayav in Birkas HaMazon be motzi a gadol who ate kedei sviya, who ate a chiyuv ashir d'oraisa? So what I'd like you to do is turn to Daf Memches, and I think the Rishonim understood that sugya as a direct hit, so to speak, on this question. And the Gemara talks about the case of Yanai HaMelech and his wife, the Malka. Yanai does not have a great reputation in Chazal, right? Krichu Rifto Bahari Adodi. They were eating a meal. You know, you get the impression that they ate a kingly banquet. I emphasize that because the Rishonim understood they ate Kedei Sviya.
There were sandwiches.
Maybe they ate a sandwich, but it was a good, you know, filling sandwich. And once he had wiped out all the Rabbanon, he didn't have anyone available to recite Birkas HaMazon on his behalf. So can we dig up some last of the Mahikans, one Chacham that survived the onslaught of Yanai HaMelech? Amalei de Besu, she was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach, and she says that, look, I'm willing to bring such a person in your presence for the sake of Birkas HaMazon. Such a Favak, you know, he has to be Yotzi Birkas HaMazon. Kills out all the Chachamim, but it didn't work. But you have to take a Shvua and guarantee his safety. So that's what he did. Yanai HaMelech took a Shvua. And then she brought Shimon ben Shetach. And the Gemara goes through a whole discussion here. Shimon ben Shetach didn't want to make the bracha for him until he ate a kezias. And finally, when he ate his kezias, he was able to be mevarech. Fine. So that's what we have over here in the sugya on Daf Memches. Now here, on this sugya, we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosis. Rashi says, Ad sheyochel kezayis dogon. So he waited until he had eaten the kezayis, and then he, Shimon ben Shetach, recited Birkas HaMazon on behalf of Yanai HaMelech. He says the following: Umichi ochal kezayis dogon mia mafik. Then he was able to recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of Yanai HaMelech. Frekt Rashi, afal gav the kezayis dogon shiura derabbanan hu. Rashi reflects what we saw already in Tosus, that achilus kezayis is only derabbanan. Kida omar biperek misha meso. Rashi says, miu, nevertheless, kevon de mechayev midrabbanan, mechuyav bidavar karinan bey. Umotziim harabim yidei chovasam. Even though the rabbim what? Achayiv midaraisa. Interesting. Rashi is operating. Tosis is going to go ballistic on this, but Rashi is operating with the premise that if you have someone who's obligated midarabanan, they can be motzi someone who's chayiv midaraisa. Rashi doesn't tell us why, but that's what Rashi says. And this sugya right here in Memches is the greatest proof for Rashi. That's how he understands the sugya. So now we have to ask ourselves the following question. What about the case of a katan? A katan cannot be motzi a gadol if the gadol is chayav d'oraisa. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda in Megillah was only talking about a chayav d'rabbana, but not a chayav d'oraisa. V'im tomar, but now that we have this new breakthrough principle that someone who's chayav d'rabbanan can be motzi someone who's chayav d'oraisa. Im kein, im tomar b'katan sheigia l'chinuch holo amar hachi. We don't say that. We don't say that a katan can be motzi a gadol. Correct? Now Rashi is, as Tosfos points out, is oblivious to the case on Daf Chaf, on the earlier case where a katan was motzi his father. Okay, that doesn't seem to be on Rashi's radar screen, as we'll see from his answer. Rashi says that although a gadol who's mechuyev in birkas hamazon derabbanan, because he ate what? He ate a kizayis, he can be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa. But nevertheless, a katan, despite the chiv chinuch, cannot be motzi a gadol. Why not? Says Rashi, hahu afilu midrabbanan lo mechayev. Even midrabbanan he's not chayev. Again, Rashi holds that if you're chayv d'rabbanan, you could be motzi someone who's chayv d'oraisa. But here, in the case of katan, he's not chayv in a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Why? D'alei d'avua hu d'rami l'chinuche. The chayv chinuch is incumbent upon whom? On the father and not on the katan. So let's fast forward now to Tosfos. It's at the very bottom of the Amud, the last four lines on the Amud. Tos says, "Ad sheyochal kizayis dagon." Mashma shem ochal kizayis dagon sheyochal lahotzi af achirim sheochlu al asova. A chiyuv drabbanan can be motzi a chiyuv d'oraisa v'tema. Vare kizayis eno elamid rabbanon, vehechi asi derabbanon upater d'oraisa. And that was indeed Rashi's kasha. And Rashi derived a conclusion from this sugya here that a chiv derabbanon can be motzi a chiv d'oraisa. Tosus is resisting that. And why is Tosus resisting it? Because of another Gemara Daf Chaf. Again, Tosus right now is again oblivious to the case of a katan being motzi the father, because maybe since the case of the father is he only ate a kizayis, maybe that's not relevant to Tosa's discussion, because right now Tosa wants to know, can a mechuyev derabbanan be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa? The Tosa finds that that's not so. A mechuyev derabbanan cannot be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa, because the Gemara says, Tova ma'ara, Lemisha ishto banav mivarchim lo. That means that even though she is obligated in Birkas HaMazon D'Rabbanan, according to that Shita, right? She's not included in Bris and in Nachla and Torah, whatever it might be, but nevertheless, she has a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. So let her be Motzi, the man. Or, for example, in the case of a katan, he's chayev midrabanan midin chinuch, let him be motzi a gadol. So you see from that Gemara that clearly a chayev derabanan is not enough to be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa. So that's what Tosfos says. Now, let's just fast forward to his kashas on Rashi. At the end of the page, he says, Upirish Rashi, the mechuyev derabbanan, mechuyev karinin bay. That Rashi says that no, someone who's chayev min rabbanan is able to be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa. And therefore, if Reuven ate a kizayis and Shimon ate kidei sevir, Reuven can be motzi Shimon. Nu, if that be the case, what about a katan shehigia l'chinuch? And here we turn to Amud Beis. Aval katan shehigia l'chinuch lo mikri mechuyev derabbanan di aviv chayev l'chancho aval ein olav shum chiyuv. Oh. So now let's see the two kashes that Tosus raises against Rash. Because Shalipirusha, to be Komakom, Kevon She'eno Minat Torah, Eno Motzi Acherim Hamachuyavim. We saw very clearly that someone who's not Chayev Minat Torah, and he's only Chayev Min Rabbanan, cannot be Motzi others. Tosus quoted that proof over here from the Gemara Daf Chaf with regard to Ishto. Ishto can't be Mevarach on his behalf because she's only Chayev in Birkas HaMazon Midrabanan. Just one second. Right? So someone who's Mechuyiv Darabanan cannot be Motzi someone who's Mechuyiv Doraisa. Rashi is incorrect. That's what Tosfos insists. The Ode, and furthermore, asks Tosfos, Dochak Lomar Bekaton Shigil Chinuch Kari Eina Mechuyiv Mirabanan. Tosfos attacks Rashi's premise that the Chiyuv Chinuch is on the father, not on the Katon. Da Eino Mechuyiv Afilu Mirabanan, if it's really true that a katan is completely alleviated from any chiyuv, then imkein eino potris aviv. How could Rashi possibly say that the Gemara on Daf Chaf, which allows a katan, if he ate a shear of kedei svia, and the father only ate a shear of Kizayis, that the son who's a katan can be motzi his father? According to you, Rashi, chinuch is on the father. So how can you possibly postulate that the katan is a bar chiyuva? So Rashi comes to the conclusion that a katan is lav bar chiyuva, correct? And that was Rashi's answer to the question as to why we find that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol, even if he's Gia Lechinuch. And the answer is because he's not Mechuyiv B'davar. No, if he's not Mechuyiv B'davar, how can he be Motzi his father in Birkas HaMazon? Again, unless you want to plug in our Tosus on Daf Tes Vav, that Birkas HaMazon is the exception to the rule. But it's interesting, Tosus doesn't see that, certainly not in Rashi. Tosus gives his own answer. Now Tosus gives his own pshat. Okay. Elinira lechalik, says Tosfos. Again, I'm skipping the parts that are less relevant to us. The katan she'eno bar chiyuv klal de oraisa. Certainly, katan is a bar chiyuv midrabanon. The chiyuv is incumbent upon the katan. So Tosfos is rejecting Rashi on that count. Is Tosfos says, nevertheless, he cannot be motzi a gadol, right? Which means that lechor, according to Tosfos, a mechuyev derabanan cannot be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa. So katan she'eno bar chiyuv klal midoraisa is afilu achal kedei svia. Even had the katan eaten kedei svia, he would not be chayev midoraisa because he's what? He's a katan. Hilkach eino mechuyev b'davar karinin be. Fine. Even though he ochal shiur d'orais. Good. So that's the easy part of Tosus. That's the easy part. Tosus says that even if I grant you that Rashi's incorrect and the chiyuv chinuch is incumbent upon the katan himself, he's a bar chiyuv amid rabbanon. But nevertheless, as far as the d'orais is concerned, he's an eino bar chiyuv amid davar. Because even had the katan eaten the kezayis, eaten a kedei svia, he would still be part of the deraisa. On the deraisa level, you cannot impose any chiyuv on a katan whatsoever. Well, but what about gadol? Why is it that a gadol who only ate a kezayis can be motzi a gadol who ate kedei svia? The answer is, says Tosfos, who bar chiyuva min haTorah? Why is he a bar chiyuva min haTorah? Tosfos says because he has the possibility of becoming mechuyuv min haTorah. If what? If he eats kedei svia, he ochel kedei svia mechuyuv b'davar karina be'afilu lo achal. And Tosfos says afilu lo achal klal. Okay, now Tosfos is going to have to backtrack and see why Shimon Shetach had to eat a kizayis in order to be motzi Yanei HaMelech. But we'll get to that in just a second. First, I want to sort of like make a summary of what we know over here. Rashi says that a mechuyev midrabanan can be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa. So the exception is a cotton because he's not even a mechuyev midrabanan. And Tosfos argues with Rashi on two counts. First of all, a mechuyev d'rabanan cannot be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa. And secondly, a cotton is in fact mechuyev d'rabanan. But Tosfos says that in the case of a katan, he's not a bar chiyuv at all, because even in the case where he ate a kidei svia, he would not be chiyuv deraisa. But in the case of a gadol, he ate kezias, but had he eaten a kidei svia, he would be chayuv deraisa, and therefore he's considered a mechuyuv bedavar. And if he's mechuyuv bedavar, he can be motzi a gadol. So as Rashi holds as a general rule, a mechuyev d'rabbanan can be motzi a d'oraisa, and that would apply, according to Rashi, even in the case of a katan. Just the only problem is that a katan is not a mechuyev b'dover midrabbanan. Even midrabbanan is not mechuyev b'dover. What would Rashi therefore say about Isha? And this is Rabbi Kivega's question. According to Rashi, Isha and Birkas HaMazon, if she's obligated midrabbanan, should be able to be motzi a gadol. And the Gemara says, Tova Ma'ara, if the Isha is motzi ha-baal, in Birkas HaMazon, is that's a Ma'ara, that's not Birkas HaMazon. But according to Rashi, wait a minute, let me just make the cheshbon. Since Rashi maintains that a mechuyev b'dov min rabbanon can be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa, with the exception of Katan, who's not mechuyev. You see, Isha works out beautifully according to Tosfos, because Tosfos' shita is, we always have to ask the question, would there be a scenario in which you would be chayev d'oraisa? In the case of an Isha, the answer is clearly what? No. Therefore, she's not considered a mechuyev bedavar. How could she be motzi a husband who's chayev d'oraisa? But according to Rashi, shita a mechuyev midrabanan can be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa, this Rebbe Kivega's kasha. Why does the Gemara establish that a woman cannot bench on behalf of her husband? Nehi, that her chiyuv is only d'rabbanan, according to that shita, and his chiyuv is d'oraisa. But nevertheless, Rashi has an absolute rule, chok v'lo yavar, that a mechuyev b'dov d'rabbanan can be motzi a mechuyev b'dov d'oraisa. But Tosfos is very good, because Tosfos holds that a mechuyev b'dov can't be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa, unless the mechuyev b'dov d'rabbanan will at some point, theoretically, become mechuyev d'oraisa. Then we give him the status of a bar chiyuv. In the case of an Isha, she can never become a bar chiyuv. In the case of a katan, even if he would eat kidei shir of svia, he would still not be mechuyuv. So therefore, on d'oraisa level, he's an ain't a mechuyuv bedavar. But someone who's mechuyuv midrabanan and could be mechuyuv d'oraisa, he's called a mechuyuv bedavar, and he could be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa.
Why couldn't Rashi say the Gemara about the Isha is talking about a case where the Baal has only a chi of the Rabbanan benching? And therefore, well, I guess it's even worse. It's even worse. Of course it should be.
Well, no, the Gemara makes it as a general rule. I mean, the Gemara says that as a general rule, without, you know, the Gemara is not talking about one specific case. The Gemara says, Tovah Ma'ara, you know, the Gemara is actually describing a case of a husband who's an Amoretz, you know. His wife, you know, well, went to Beis Yankiv, and she knows how to bench, but he never went to yeshiva, so he doesn't know how to bench. So let his wife bench for him, and the Gemara says, Tovah Ma'ara, which the Rishonim understand that mean that she can't be motzi him. But Bishleim, according to Tosfos, that makes sense because she's an Eina Mechuyev Bedov. She can never be Chayev Es Doraisa. But according to Rashi, we should apply the principle of Mechuyev Bedov. Rashi, in theory, would maintain that a cotton could be motzi a gadol, even though the gadol ate a shir Doraisa. But the answer is that the cotton is an Eina Mechuyev Bedov, even midrabbanan. Had the cotton been Mechuyev Durabbanan, Rashi would have embraced that shita. He could, in fact, be motzi a gadol.
What's the mechanism of this being motzi?
I don't know.
Because this type that does if I'm
eating, wait, are you asking in Rashi or are you asking in Tosfos?
I'm more
one second. No. So Daniel, this is what I want to tell you. And this is what I want to tell you for the entire shiur. I don't know, and I probably will never be zochet to understand how Rashi works here. Well, what is the mechanics according to Rashi, and why a mechuyv bedavar d'rabbanan can be motzi a mechuyv bedavar d'oraisa? But according to Tosus, I do have an insight. Let's read the Tosus inside. Tosus says, he says, Kidamriya Rosh Hashanah Kola Brochos Afal Pisha Yotza Motzi Raichutz mi Birchas Alechem u Birchas Hayayin Vahainu Taima Dechol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. These are the magic words that we've been waiting for. Vekilian Einayim. Rashi omits it. Rashi deliberately leaves out the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. That's why I submit to you that Rashi is operating with a new halacha, which I don't know how it operates, that a mechuyev bedavar derabbanan is considered a mechuyev bedavar. A katan is not mechuyev bedavar, he's not even chayev derabbanan. And a mechuyev bedavar derabbanan can be motzi a gadol. It can be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa. How that works, I have no clue. It doesn't make any sense. Had Rashi gone a step further and invoked the principle of Arvus in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that could be a little bit different. Now, I'm trying to figure out why Rashi, if you pardon the expression, is so very stubborn. Why is Rashi deliberately avoiding what seems to be the simple interpretation here? Namely, that the fundamental difference between a katan and a gadol, and the reason why a katan can't be motzi a gadol, whereas a gadol can be motzi a gadol, is arvus. A katan is not included in arvus, but a gadol is included in arvus. And Rashi, for some reason, is deliberately avoiding this. And again, I'm going to say something, I'm going to try to convince you that I'm right, but you'll fight me tooth and nail. I think the answer to that question is in that little phrase which you can miss with a blink in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Arvus operates in Brachos. In fact, the Gemara says Kol HaBrachos. But is that true? No. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah qualifies it. Chutz mi Birchas HaLechem u Birchas HaYayin. Tosfos understood that Birchas HaLechem and Birchas HaYayin is a reference to what? Which bracha? Lefanel Liachrea. Lefanel. In other words, the Birchas HaNenin. In other words, according to Tosis, the following principle works. When we're talking about Birchas HaMitzvahs, you have a mitzvah and I have a mitzvah. Could be that at this moment, I'm not obligated in that mitzvah. I was already yotze, or I didn't eat anything, or I ate only kizayis, whatever it might be. But in theory, I am a mechuyev bedavar, I'm included in that mitzvah, and therefore any bracha related to that mitzvah, I can be motzi you because of the din of arvus. When we, Reuven and Shimon, both share the same mitzvah, Reuven is responsible for Shimon. That's called arvus. And that responsibility empowers Reuven, and maybe even obligates Reuven, I go even further, to be motzi Shimon. Says Tosis, for that all I need is a mechuyev bedavar. Are you included in that chiyuv? If you're included in that chiyuv in the more abstract sense, then arvus kicks in. Rashi holds, chutz mi birchas halechem, birchas hayayin, is not limited to birchas hanenim lefaneha, but Rashi would apply this even lachrel. So again, I ask you the question, why does Rashi deliberately omit the principle here of arvus? And he comes up with a new principle, that a mechuyev midrabanan, and that's why Shimon ben Shetach had to eat a kezayis, is motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa. Says Rashi, mechuyev d'rabbanan can be motzi a mechuyev d'oraisa in Birkas HaMazon, not because of arvus. Rashi objects to applying arvus in this case, because Rashi holds that any mitzvah that's engendered by achila is called a Birkas HaNenim. And in Birkas HaNenim, we don't share the same chiyuv. You had the hanah, that's your problem. I had the hanah, that's my problem. even if we both had Adnah, the two different problems, meaning we have no mutual responsibility, chutzmi, birchas alechem, birchas hayayim, when it comes to birchas hanenet, is memela, there's a fundamental machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos on how to define birchas hamazon. Tosfos understood the birchas hamazon, the birchas hamitzvah. The Torah commands me, v'achalto v'savato v'erachto, that's a birchas hamitzvah like any mitzvah. And therefore, we both share the same mitzvah. It could be that now, I was already yotzei my mitzvah, or I didn't eat, and therefore I was never chayv in that mitzvah, but since I'm a bar chiyuv in that mitzvah, because theoretically I could be obligated in that mitzvah, therefore we both share the same chiyuv of mitzvah, and the principle of arvus kicks in. And therefore, I could be motzi you, even if I didn't eat a thing. Again, Tosfos is going to require, in the case of Shimon Shetach, that he ate a kezayis, but we'll see why, for a different technical reason. But in theory, even if Reuven didn't eat a morsel, he could be motzi Shimon and Birkas HaMazon, because Birkas HaMazon, as a classical mitzvah, lends itself to arvus. And Reuven, even though he's not chayiv in that mitzvah at this particular scenario, he could be chayiv in that mitzvah, so he's a bar chiyuv in that mitzvah. The bar chiyuv in the mitzvah broadens my obligation to include everyone else who's obligated in that mitzvah. That's called arvus. Rashi, on the other hand, could not apply the principle of arvus to Birkas HaMazon, because Rashi classified Birchas HaMazon as a Birchas HaNenim. What led Rashi to the strange conclusion that when I fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, I'm basically being Mavarech on the Hanah? What's the obvious answer? Because we have it's the Hanah itself. The Hanah of Achila is Mechayev Min HaBrachel for now, and to the same extent, it's Mechayev Min HaBrachel Achrer. What's the difference between the two? And therefore, both are to be classified as Birchas HaNenim. When it comes to Birchas HaNenim, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah blocks the principle of Arvus. Ad Kan, Kol Yisrael Arevim, Zebusa.
Why did you say Birchas Lechem and Birchas HaNenim?
Yeah, maybe Rashi holds that Yayin is a typical Birchas HaNenim, and Lechem refers to both the Bracha Lefaneh and the Bracha Lachreah. Or, alternatively, Yayin also has a Bracha Lachreah. So Lechem and Yayin are two cases, which are paradigms, of Brachos that come both Lefaneh and Liachreah. But again, Rabosai, the floor is yours in a minute. I just want to make sure that I understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to suggest is, Rabosai, that the reason why Rashi deliberately avoids the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, it's not because Rashi was unaware of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which is Yisodi HaYisodos. The Gemara in Sota, for example, derives Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh from the fact that at the time of Hargrizim and Harevel, each Jew took a bracha and a klol on behalf of not only himself, but of all of Klal Yisrael Shishim Ribu. Whatever it is, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh is something that even a child should know in fourth grade. Rashi leaves it out. The answer is, Rashi was forced to leave it out because Rashi held that Birchas HaMazon doesn't lend itself to Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. It's a Birchas HaNenim. Therefore, Rashi was compelled to come up with this brand new principle, which is not based on Arvus. We don't know what it's based on. And that is that a Mechuyev B'Davar Midrabanan can be Motzi a Mechuyev B'Davar D'Oraisa. How it works, I don't know. Then Rashi has to ask himself the question, what do we do with Katan? Why can't he be motzi a gadol after all the katan is chayav b'chinuch midrabanan? The answer is the katan is not chayav b'chinuch. You know, it's like a domino theory over here. The machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, in my opinion, is a threefold machlokas. You know, they say the difference between Reb Chaim and the Rogachov was that Reb Chaim had tzvei dinim and the Rogachov had drei dinim. This is a case of drei dinim. The Rogachov was. There are three points of machlokas of contention here between Rashi and Tosfos. First of all, and this is a well-tried machlokas that we know about for a long, long time. What is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch? Is it incumbent on the father? Is it incumbent on the son? Rashi holds it incumbent on the father. Tosfos holds it incumbent on the son. Fine. That's one machlokas. Tosfos asks Akash against Rashi, how could the Gemara establish on Daf Chof that a ben is mevarech birkas hamazon on behalf of his father if he's an enim achriyev b'dover? That seems clear proof that the katan is chayev in birkas hamazon, not like Rashi. Okay, that's one machlokas. Machlokas number two, how is it that someone who's mechuyev midrabanan can be motzi someone who's mechuyev d'oraisa. And here we have a fundamental machlok between Rashi and Tosus. Tosus maintains he doesn't even have to be mechuyev midrabanan. Even if he didn't eat a morsel, he could be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa. Forget about the chayev d'rabanan; it's irrelevant. Tosus holds we can activate the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Why then, Fractosus, Tosus asks himself, so why does Shimon ben Shechta insist, this whole Gantz Sugya Memches, that he has to eat a Kizayis? Here Rashi has the upper hand, because Rashi holds that we're operating not with Arvus, but we're operating with the principle that a Mechuyiv V'Dovid D'Rabbanan can be Motzi, someone who's Mechuyiv D'Oraisa. Therefore, Shimon ben Shechta was forced to eat a kizayis in order to become a barchiyuv d'rabbanan, because a barchiyuv d'rabbanan is the barest minimum in order to be motzi someone who's chayav d'oraisa. And Tosus now has to face the music. If Tosus is operating midin arvus, what difference does it make whether Shimon ben Shetach ate a kizayis or didn't eat a kizayis? So he answers that this was a case of zimun. Let's look at Tosus' answer. And Tosus says, but who adin bebirkas amozin afal pishe yotzamotzi? Yotzamotzi means he's not chayv at all. Ukizayis dogon. I'm going to add a few words. Diochal Shimon ben Shetach. So why did Shimon ben Shetach insist on eating kizayis? Tzorich. Why does he have to eat that? Elok. Right? Eino tzorich. Excuse me. Eino tzorich ela. Right? I read it as a positive. He's got a double negative. Eino tzorich ela sheyuchal lomar shachalu mishalom. It's a technical reason that somehow in Birkas HaMazon you have to bless God for eating from His food, from His bounty. But wait a minute, Shimon ben Shechta didn't eat a morsel. That's why he had to eat a kizayis. The third machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is a fundamental machlokas about Birkas HaMazon. Rashi omits Arevus in Birkas HaMazon. Tosfos embraces Arevus in Birkas HaMazon. Tosfos holds that a mechuyev bedover can be motzi someone else, or an ain't a mechuyev bedover can be motzi someone else because he theoretically is a mechuyev bedover, and that's the principle of Arevus, and Tosfos applies it to Birkas HaMazon. Why not? Chutz mi lechem v'yayin is referring to Birkas HaNanim. Birkas HaMazon is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Rashi holds no. When you want to analyze what is Birkas HaMazon, should I classify it as a Birkas HaMitzvah, as a Birkas HaNanim? Rashi holds, let's go back to the Mechayev. The Mechayev is Hana. The Mechayev is Hana, whether it's Birkas HaNanim Lefaneo, the Mechayev is Hana and Birkas HaMazon Liachreo. And therefore, it comes under the principle of Chutz, Mi Lechem Yayin, and there's no possibility of applying the principle of Arvus. The Mela Rashi has to face the music. If there's no Arvus here, how could Shimon ben Shetach be Motzi? Yana Yamelech. And for Rashi, because Shimon ben Shetach ate a kizayis. And once he eats a kizayis, he's Chayev Derabbanon. And a mechuyev d'rabbanan could be motzi someone who's mechuyev d'oraisa. No, why can't a cotton? Because he's not a mechuyev d'oraisa.
I just try to understand if you help me understand how Rashi on that Gemara on Daf Chav Chesam fits in with this.
Where are you? You're on Chaf or on Mem?
I'm in
Mem Chesam.
Rosh Hashanah Chav Chesam.
Oh, yeah.
Rosh Hashanah Chav Chesam.
Okay.
So there, where the source of this is called Brachas Kulon Afalki Shei Yotza Motzi, Rashi makes it clear, Sherei Kol Yisrael Raven Zevazel HaMitzvahs. Rashi says that that's the principle that operates there. So now what about the other ones? Chutz. Chutz in Birkas Alechem and Birkas Ayayin. So Rashi, I understand. Rashi says, Chutz in Birkas Alechem V'Ayayin.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's a run-on Rashi or there's a period there. It says, V'Sha'ar Birkas Peres V'Reichani She'enem Chola. Ella she'asu le'anos min ha'olam hazeh v'lo bracha. U'bizu ain kan arevus. She'enem Chola ala adam lo le'itani v'lo levarach. But I assume he means, but Lechem Ayayin is different because it is a Chola.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. So
I don't know. I don't know how to make any sense out of that. Why is Lechem? Oh, maybe he's talking about Kiddush, maybe.
Kiddush in the milk?
Nah.
I am assuming that the Kiddush and milk, so only those that are talking about, not when I'm having a sandwich in the afternoon.
But I don't understand. If we're talking about Kiddush, then on the contrary, Rashi should say that Arvus should kick in, no? You're saying that in Birkas HaPeres, Arvus doesn't kick in because there's no Chiyuv, correct? It's optional. Nobody can force me to eat a pear.
Right.
But in the case of lechem and yayin, this is a situation, a scenario in which I'm obligated. So why then is the principle of Ivor suspended in that case? I don't know. I didn't get a chance. Bli neder, Yechiel, I did not see the Rashi that you're referring to.
It works by kiddush.
No, if it's not by kiddush, then birchas alechem, birchas yayin should be a paradigm of birchas aperos or other dhano. Who forces you to ask to be Masonic? But Yechiel has a Rashi over there in Rosh Hashanah. I can't be held responsible for Rashi Rosh Hashanah. I'm barely responsible for Rashi here in Masechta Brachas. And Rashi in Masechta Brachas, Rosh Hashanah seems to have a different approach.
But it's not that it's because you're Mitzvah Lechem Yayin, you can't be Motzi somebody.
Yeah.
He says you can if you're not Yotze yet. The exception where these are different than other Brachas and Mitzvahs, that if I was already Yotze, I can't be Motzi somebody else.
But I'm asking, is Rashi classifying Birchas HaPeros in a different category than Lechem and Yayin?
I understood that from Rashi.
So that I have to see inside. It doesn't make a bit of sense to me. Okay, Rabosai, send me an email. You know what I mean?
The way you understood Rashi,
yeah,
that you could never be Yotze Samban Goy Birchas HaNenin at all.
Not at all.
All right.
And no way, no how.
Okay, so now
there's no Arvus.
But Gemara makes it clear that by Yayin and Lechem, I can be Motzi someone if I haven't been Yotze yet. You can't. Gemara, that's Gemara.
In what case? In the case of Kiddush, maybe?
So it means you can't be doing Birchas HaNenin anymore because there's no
Chiyuv
in the Nenin.
No, but I'm asking you, when you say that I can be Motzi you in Lechem and Yayin, are you talking about Kiddush, for example?
Well, I'm just going to read the words of the Gemara again. Let's go to Avon Bishigat and Motzi. Chotzi Birchas HaYayin, why? Ubechas Lechem and Yayin, why? How she'im lo yatsa motzi? Knows by lechem and yayin.
But again, I don't know what the Gemara means by lo yatsa. Does Rashi say what he means by lo yatsa?
Explain exactly what it means, but
could it mean? I'm just throwing it out.
But it can't be that. For sure, it can't be that.
No. But I'm saying, could it mean lo yatsa yidei kiddush? Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in front of me. In fact, I don't even think you have the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in front of me.
This is the
Tzur Zadar.
I got the whole Gemara.
So that's Achlokes Achrayim, where the virtual Gemara is a Gemara. You know, okay. I don't call that a Gemara. To me, a Gemara is this. You know. Okay. No. Seriously, Yechiel. Let me finish this year, and then, if you don't mind, and then. Because right now it's a chatzi shir. And let me then, you know, you'll bring me, but if you don't mind, again, if it doesn't insult your sensitivities, if you don't mind bringing me a real physical Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, you know. Now, I'll tell you why, because if you look at a physical Gemara, especially today, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but they have so many types of Gemaras. You know, you have the Friedman Gemara, which is called the Oz Vahadra, and then you have the Masifta Gemaras, and they added another couple of things. So, you know, it's good to get again, it could be that your Gemara has all that. I don't know. Do they have all the side stuff too?
I have most of Rashi.
Wow. Oh, so you probably have the Oz Vahadra. That's interesting.
It's a scam thing. It's not,
right, but you should know. Again, I'm not accusing anyone of any criminal actions here, but Oz Vahadra requires a. Oz Vahadra has what's called a patent. You know, you really have to have
copyright.
You know, copyright. You know, you really have to pay. You have to
I
pay
don't know
for
that. This is from HebrewBooks.org, the Reisman edition. I don't know.
Wow. I wonder. You should know the Reisman edition is very sensitive to copyright laws. Very sensitive. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. He would not put on HebrewBooks.org anything unless he paid. But maybe, you know, he could afford it. Maybe he paid the big bucks for it. And but I don't know. Yeah, it's possible. You know what? Maybe it's possible that he actually paid for the, you know, for the copyright rights for Oz Vahadra. You know. So in that case, I tip my hat to you, Yechiel. You got everything that I got in the real Gemara. Okay. I would just, you know, I'm a little old-fashioned, Yechiel. If the Rav Zichron Levracha, you know, was sitting in Shia, and somebody would say, Rebbe, here's the Gemara, give him a computer, the Rav would probably start screaming at him, you know. But okay, but we're more modern and more advanced. Okay, so let me try to recollect my thoughts just to see where I'm holding. So again, according to Tosfos Shita, if a gadol eats a kezias, he could be motzi another gadol who ate kidei svia because of arvus. Correct?
Yes.
That's what we know from Tosfos. Okay. Why does he have to eat a kezias if Tosfos is operating midin arvus? Dali Haki, I don't need Kizayis. And that's the principle of Yatza Motzi. The answer is, says Tosfos, he needed it because of Shachalnu Mishalom. Now, I was thinking about this halacha, Mishachalnu Mishalom, and it really fascinated my mind. Because if, let's assume, Rabosa, again, we're not learning Zimun now, that Shachalnu Mishalom is an integral part of Birkas HaMazon. Are you willing to make that assumption? Just, if that be the case, there's a kind of nichzi kishikra here. If he didn't eat anything, and he's thanking Hashem, shachalnu mishalom. But I'm not so happy with that, because if there's a din of arvus, why can't I thank Hashem? Shehu achal mishalom. Mishalom meaning of his. Why does it have to be that I ate mishalom? And I want to suggest the following. And what I'm telling you again, you know, since we're learning the sugya of arvus here, there's no, I don't expect you to take on arvus for this. It's my own responsibility. That maybe before we get to Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevuzet, Tos says there's got to be an introductory condition that has to be fulfilled, even before we can apply the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevuzet. And what is that? The bracha has to be meaningful in and of itself vis-a-vis the Mevarech. We have a two-stage process over here. The Mevarech creates a bracha, that's stage number one, and then he allows, so to speak, the Shomea, who he's the Bar Chiyuv in this scenario, to link it, to hook up to his bracha, midin arvus. The arvus allows, facilitates the Misha Mechuyev B'davar to grab onto this bracha and use it for himself. How does the bracha get transferred, so to speak, from the Mevarech to the Mizbarech? The answer is, that's called Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevuzet, because I share a responsibility vis-a-vis this mitzvah with you, even though right now I'm not Mechuyev, but in theory, in concept, I have that responsibility no less than you do. Therefore, I can take my bracha and impose it on you and share it with you. But Bamedvar Mamurim, says Tosfos, there's got to be a preparatory stage. And that is that the bracha is a bracha. And Tosfos says it's not even a bracha if you can't say Shachalnu Mishalom. If this be the case, Rabosai, I begin to understand something else. Rashi holds that a katan could be motzi a gadol if the katan were mechuyev midrabbanan. Correct? Rashi holds that a katan is not mechuyev midrabbanan, but in theory, if he would be mechuyev midrabbanan, he could be motzi a gadol. And that's not midin arvus. And I asked you the question before, V'kentosayim, what is this new principle that's not based on arvus that allows someone to be motzi someone else when there's no arvus? That's again, I know why Rashi is resisting arvus, because Rashi holds that Birkas HaMazon doesn't lend itself to arvus. But what I'm questioning here, so what does Rashi substitute for arvus? How does it work that the katan could be motzi a gadol? And Rabbi Kivega's kasha, why can't an isha be motzi a gadol, even though there's no din arvus? But Rashi holds that if you have even a shmek of a chiyuv, you can be motzi someone else. So I was thinking the following. Are you ready for this? I mean, this is going to be mamish. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm hoping Rashi will smile, you know, when I get up there to meet him. Rashi holds that if you're mechuyev midrabbanan in Birkas HaMazon, then you can create an entity called a bracha. Meaning, if you're not mechuyev at all, so what is your bracha worth? You're thanking Hashem? You're expressing gratitude for what? On the contrary, I would say you violate Lo Sisa. But once you have a chiyuv, albeit midrabbanan, you can and must create a bracha. Rashi holds that somehow, again, we still haven't fully answered the question, but I think we're making some progress here. Somehow, the person who listens to your bracha, since he can plug into your bracha, he can be yotzei. The problem with the katan is that the Torah doesn't recognize his bracha because the katan is lav bar chiyuv klal, even mitarabanan. The chiyuv of chinuch is incumbent upon whom? Upon the father, according to Rashi. So the katan doesn't have the capacity to create a bracha. But in the case of an isha, she has a chiyuv birkas amazon albiyit derabanan. So why can't she be motzi her husband? Meaning that once the Rabbanon imposed the chiyuv on an isha, and had they been done so according to Rashi on a katan, the isha of the katan could create a bracha. Once that bracha emerges as a chalushim bracha, is b'meila someone else could be yotzei because he has a chiyuv. And here the chiddush is, listen to this, that once there's a chiyuv the Rabbanon, that chiyuv de Rabbanan facilitates the creation of a bracha, and that entity of a bracha is chal even midaraisa. In other words, you're asking the question, how could Ploni, who's only mechuyiv midrabbanan, be motzi almoni, almoni is chayiv midaraisa, and you're not willing to apply the principle of Arvus and Birkas HaMazon? The answer is, because once Ploni, the first guy, Reuven, is chayiv midrabbanan, he can create an entity of a bracha, and that bracha is recognized not only by the Rabbanan, they're not creating a new entity called a bracha, that bracha is recognized by the Torah itself. And Rabbosai, if this be the case, if you'd be willing to accept what I just presented in Rashi, then I think we can answer up a kasha of all the Rishonim, and maybe Rashi would answer this Rishon. Let me ask you the following question. A person who eats a kezias of pas, he's chayiv in Birkas HaMazon according to Rashi and Tosfos, what word should I add here? Midrabanan. He's not chayiv d'oraisa. Is that really so? Take a look. The Gemara says, on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, it's the second source on your page 2, as to whether or not the shear for Chiyuv Birkas HaMazon is a kezayis, and that's the shita of Rabbi Meir, or it's kibetza, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Mar vacillates back and forth what the machlokas is all about, and Abaye presents what seems to be the bottom line in the sugya. Abaye says that Rabbi Meir reads the pasuk v'achalta zu achila, v'savata zu shtia, meaning the word savata is not a new category, it's just a description, an adjective describing the achalta in the case of shtia. But it all comes back to the same achila. The word visavata means vishasisa. Says the Gemara, now I understand Rabbi Meir beautifully. When the Torah says viachalta visavata, it means achila. How much is achila? The shir achila called tarkula is kizayis. Rabbi Yehuda's sovereign name. Visavata is an adjective describing viachalta. What kind of achila engenders the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon? Achila sheyesh bas svia, shekidei svia, which is what? A kibetz. Rabosa, be honest with me. Be absolutely honest with me. When you read this Gemara, are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about a chiyuv d'Rabbanan or a chiyuv d'Oraisa? It's a chiyuv d'oraisa. Tosfos says he stands on his head and does somersaults. This is all asmachta. Poof away the whole sugya. It doesn't exist. It's all asmachta. I don't think Rashi says asmachta. But yet, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chav, the famous Joshua of Rav Avira that we mentioned before, because Tosfos mentions it here on Daf Tezvav, that why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu no say panim l'klal Yisrael? Because they're nachmir malatzma. They took upon themselves to be mevarech Birkas HaMazon, even though all they ate was what? Was a kezayis or a kebetza. It's the Rabosai clearly from the Gemara of Rav Avira and Brachas Daf Chof, what conclusion do you get? Do you derive that Kibay Kizaisa Kibetza? It's Rabbanan. Maybe it's not even the Rabbanan. Tosa says it's a Chumri Yisera. Whatever it is, call it a Rabbanan, but it's certainly not the Raisa. And the Rishonim racked their brains how to reconcile these two Sugyas. The Ramban says it's Sugyas Hasosros Zuezu. And the Ramban says that we accept La Halacha, the Sugya of Rav Avira, at the expense of Abaye. Tosa says, which you'll see in the next Tosas here on page 2, that Abaye is talking about an asmach to the Alma. Don't take this seriously. It's all Drabban. Rashi would hold, I think, that there's no steer between the two sugyas. These two sugyas are addressing two different questions. One question is the chiyuv birkas hamazon, and the other question is the kiyuv birkas hamazon. The first thing on Daf Chaf, Rav Avira wants to know, when am I mechuyev in Birkas HaMazon? And the answer is, I have to eat Kidei Svia. We were machmer al atzmenu to make ourselves into mechuyev in the Dorf. It's what shall I say, since you mentioned the shofar before, it's like a woman who hears shofar. The Nashim Tzinkanios took upon themselves to hear shofar, right? Do you know of a woman who wouldn't come to Shul of Rosh Hashanah? Do you know of a person who wouldn't bench when he ate a kizayis or a kibetza? Markedisley. That's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They place upon themselves a chiyuv when the Torah alleviated that chiyuv. But ask yourself a different question. When is there a chiyuv in Birkas HaMazon? And the answer is, the chiyuv in Birkas HaMazon extends beyond the chiyuv. What shall I say? It's like the Shitas HaRamban. You know, the Ramban denies that tefillah is doraisa. So Rav Chaim used to say, what does that mean? There's no tefillah doraisa? The Torah doesn't recognize prayer? The answer is, said Rav Chaim, what the Ramban means is that the chiyuv tefillah is derabanan. The chiyuv tefillah is doraisa. The Ramban would never, heaven forbid, deny that when I stand in prayer, I create the entity of tefillah. And that is a chiyuv which even the Torah recognizes. It's not a derabanan. But the chiyuv is the rabban. The same thing here applies, according to Rashi, in the case of a mechuyev bedavar mirabbanan. If the birkas hamazon is obligatory mirabbanan, then you can create a kiyum doraisa. I am not mechuyev bedoraisa. The answer is the kiyum mitzvah is not dependent on the chiyuv mitzvah. They're two independent questions. The Gemara of Avira again is addressing the question of chiyuv mitzvah. But once we were machmer al atzmenu, what we engender here is a bracha doraisa, because the entity of the bracha, even though the chovas gavra is only derabanan, but the bracha itself is an entity doraisa. And if this be the case, that's what Abaye is talking about in the sugya on Daf Memtesam and Beis with regard to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are talking about the following question: at what point do I have enough of a chiyuv, so to speak, or enough of an entity in Birkas HaMazon to create a cheftza shel bracha? And the answer is, I can obtain that kiyum according to Rav Meir through Achilas Kizayis. I can obtain that kiyum according to Rav Yehuda through Kibetza. Rashi says, oh, you ate a Kizayis? You ate a Kibetza? Now you can be Motzi Agadol, who ate a full shear of Kidei Sphere. How could it be? If Rashi would have accepted Arvus, Nicha, but Rashi rejected Arvus. The answer is because Rashi holds that even if you're Mechuyev Midrabanan, the Chovid Rabban is enough to bring you into the arena of being capable of creating a Chefta Shal Bracha Doraisa. And once you create a Chefta Shal Bracha Doraisa, Yenem, who's obligated because he ate Kidei Sphere Doraisa, he can hook into that entity Doraisa. And therefore Rashi maintains that if a Katan would have been a Bar Chiyuv Derabanan, then he too could create an entity of a Bracha, and that Chal Hashem Bracha would be enough for the Torah to recognize the possibility for a Gadol to be Yotze with this Bracha. Okay, I want you to think this over. We sort of ran out of time, but I think it would be an exciting approach to this whole
suit. The problem of man making kiddush for his wife for him.
Correct. Where the rush goes back and forth, according to this interpretation. Even if you don't need Arvas for this. You see, the Rush is holding that you need Arvas because he's in the school of Tosis. And therefore the Rush says, do I have Arvas for Nisha? Maybe I don't have Arvas for Nisha. So if I was Yotze my Chiyuv, the only way I could be Motze and Nisha is through Arvas. There's no Arvas for Nisha, perhaps. Right? That's he vacillates back and forth. But according to Rashi, Dalmiyoki, I don't need Arvas. All I have to do is create an entity of a bracha. She can now link up to the entity of a bracha. Okay.
Amanda, you learned in the Rambam, brachas, the Yetzi, even if it's delayed, the verb delayed. So if somebody else says, are you listening? You say, amen. Is it matter any word? If you hear a woman or a child making a bracha, if you hear belay, you say, amen. Why is any words in the Rambam's saying a bracha belay?
Right, maybe according to the Rambam, we have to ask the question, what is the purpose of an Amen? You know, like you say, he could be Baruch Belev, why do I need the Amen?
Exactly, yeah, but I'm saying generally, let a child, it doesn't matter for a Gila maybe, but let a child make a bracha.
No, because the Amen has to link up with a bracha. The child can't make a bracha. The child doesn't have a bracha. Tosis says the child has a bracha because he's Chayav and Chiru,
he's Rabban. Yeah, but I'm saying,
but Rashi,
even without that, he's not being made. He's saying it. You're listening, and you're listening as if you're. There's no words.
I mean, you're concentrating.
Yeah, you're concentrating.
And for that matter, you could have a machine. You know, turn on.
That's the wrong one. Say call it brochas. So
So in effect, you're asking the following question. I think why does Tosis need Arvus? Forget about Arvus. And why does Rashi need this halach? That I'm a chuyv
d'rabbanan.
Why don't we just listen to a machine? So I think what the Rama means by bracha b'lev is that his intention is to be yotzei through the lev. But if his intention is to be yotzei b'peh, because that's the way we're supposed to do it, even the Rama says it's only b'dieved, so then he needs an entity of a bracha to be yotzei. Let's think about it. It's a good question. You have the Marma Kohen's page from Monday, by any chance?
Yeah.
I want to see the Lashon HaRambam.
Because it's talking about.
Yeah, this is the Rambam here. Ram says, "Kol brachas kulam tzarach sheyashmil yoz." No. Ben shabirich beliba. Right, and kriyat shma is the exception to the rule because kriyat shma is a separate halacha of motzi b'svasa. Right, that's what the Rabbeinu Menachem says that lo yikra beliba. So we tried to explain why is kriyat shma difficult. It's a din of parshis. You know, when there's a din of parshis. Yeah, you need a kriya because. But you're saying in brachas the Rambam doesn't require a kriya, and all he requires is brachas b'lev. So the answer has to be that when the Rambam wants to activate hirakid dibur, that requires a deliberate. A deliberate intention to activate hirukin divrudom. But if he's listening to someone else's bracha, and Haraya, we're talking about cases probably where he doesn't have the ability to make the bracha. So, you know what? I would add another point. And maybe when the Rambam says yirech belibo, it means he understands the bracha. The chiddush of Arvus is that even if I don't understand the bracha, but I'm linking up to an entity that's pre-packaged. You know, it's been created. But no, it's an excellent question.
Because I also still have that.
Okay.
But when we have that, I can't be honest.